Anybody got a question? I tell you what, dude, before I read something to you, let's open the word of prayer. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us and sent your Son to die for us and pay for our sins. And by putting our faith and trust in what Christ did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to especially be with these people and to comfort them and to heal them according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to lead us by your Spirit and build us up in the faith, and let us not be concerned about the things we can't understand, but let us simply believe you mean what you say. And Father, we ask you this morning, most of all, to get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I'm going to read something here to you. There's a question here that says, do the angels in heaven pray for us? Anybody got any idea about that? It would give me great comfort to know that they do, because I need all the prayers I can get. There's nothing wrong with the question. That's a good question. Here's the answer. The angels were created by God for one purpose: to carry out his will. The Bible says, praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. And he says he's quoting this out of Psalms 103, but if you read Psalms 103, that ain't what Psalms 103 says. And I'm not going to read Psalm 103. I'm just telling you what this answer to this question is. One way they do this is by watching over God's people and protecting us from the evil schemes of our spiritual enemy, the devil. Now, what do y'all think about that? Not really. Do y'all think that God's got angels that's keeping the devil from blinding you?
No.
Let's look at a passage or two about this. Go to Romans chapter 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Romans chapter 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, there's so many doctrines and false teachings going on today that people do not understand what in the world God's doing in this dispensation that we live in. Now, we want to just ask God about these questions here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 27. Well, I apologize. Let's back up to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit, and you'll notice that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Come to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who makes intercession for us? Does God's angels?
No.
And see, Jesus Christ is not one of God's angels. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Now, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In the context in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm not going to start in the context, but let's go to verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Can you be taken captive by Satan at his will? You know why? Because people refuse to study the Word of God rightly divided. Now go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is about a man that desires the office of a bishop, and there are some qualifications here for the man that desires the office of a bishop. Verse 6, not a novice. In other words, he's supposed to be thoroughly furnished on all good works, this bishop. He's not to be a novice. Why? Lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Well, where's his guardian angel at? They're supposed to keep this from happening to him. Something, is he asleep? Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Beloved, the man here doesn't understand what God's word says. Now, this man is highly esteemed. And y'all know what Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says about being highly esteemed? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. Wow. Now, let's read on. I'm going to read on something else about this angel. The answer to this lady's question has not been answered properly. Now, these angels. And when our life's journey is over, they, these angels, will accompany us into God's presence in heaven forever. What do y'all think about that? I had an aunt, dear young lady, my mama's sister, Baptist all her life, and I ain't got nothing against Baptist. But she was a Baptist all her life, and when she died, that preacher preached her funeral and said that the angels came and took her to heaven. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Old 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now just believe your Bible. Now, this ain't got nothing to do with our lesson this morning, but I just wanted to clear up some things in case you read this article in the Mobile Press Register. Verse 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord shall send his angels. No. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How are you going to get to heaven? Who is the angel going to take you up there? The Lord himself. Dr. Billy Graham doesn't understand his Bible. That's sad to me. As much clout as that man has had all his life, and as much faith as people put in his answers, they refuse to check out and make sure that he's not wrong. Now, I think that's your responsibility sitting in this class while I'm teaching it to make sure what I'm saying is what God said. Don't you pay attention to what I say about God, but you pay attention to what God says. Now, with all that in mind, this morning I want to show you what we have in Christ. You understand? Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm talking to saved people. I'm talking to people that have trusted that Jesus Christ, when they died at Calvary, he paid for all of their sins. Their sins are not their problem. Sins were taken care of at Calvary. So, by the Spirit, when the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, he gave him a dispensation. Paul wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ. And you can't find the church, the body of Christ, in Genesis to Malachi, nor in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And you won't find the church, the body of Christ, in Hebrews through Revelation. The church, the body of Christ, will be raptured out before God deals with Israel in the 7-year tribulation. We will not be here in the tribulation. The Lord himself will come for those that have trusted that Christ died for their sins. And when you trusted that, if you have, the Holy Spirit baptized you into His body. Not just a body, but into His body. That body was wrought in Christ when Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead after 3 days and three nights. This body, His complete body of believers that have trusted Christ, was resurrected with Him. We ascended up, and we are now seated in Him at the right hand of God the Father. Now, you can't beat that. You can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't find that in the book of Hebrews through Revelation. These people here are told over and over and over that they have to endure to the end to be saved. Paul said, we look back at Calvary and see that when Christ died at Calvary, God made Him to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm just as righteous as Jesus Christ is. And beloved, that's why Romans chapter 5, verse 11 needs to be left alone. And these scholars like Dr. Graham, they won't leave it alone. They say the word, in other words, and we'll tell you what to do. Hold Romans 8 and go to Romans 5. Let me read verse 2. My pastor that I studied under, he was one of the guilty ones that changed the word and made it something else. Now, I'm not going to change God's word. You know why? In Psalms 138, God said His word's forever settled in heaven. God's word is settled in heaven. I have no authority to change it. Now, Romans 5, verse 11. But not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Did Paul say we've now received the atonement?
Yeah.
Y'all know what the atonement is?
Christ.
It's the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So when Jesus Christ shed His blood at Calvary, He paid for all of our sins. God can't see our... Well, I'm just going to put the law down here. I'll just say the law. Okay? For clarity's sake. God can't see this law. Why? He sees this blood of His Son. You understand? Now, watch what He says here. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Can you be condemned? Who walk not after the flesh. And boy, here comes the world. Well, did you see old so-and-so? I saw him coming out of the movie theater. And God Almighty told us we should not go to the movie. Would you show me that in the 1611 King James Bible where God said you can't go to a movie? Well, you know, I saw old sister so-and-so, and she had a bikini on that she might as well have not have had no clothes on. Can you show me where God condemned her for that? Now, we're talking about somebody that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, believing that Jesus Christ, when He died at Calvary, died for their sins. Is there any condemnation to them? Well, now what about these people here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Can they be condemned? Well, certainly they can. You know why? They're not sealed. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And beloved, you can't get into this body by water baptism or repenting of your sins or walking the aisle or joining some church or some organization. The only way you can get into this body right here is by the death of Christ at Calvary, and you can't have that any other way except by Paul's gospel. You can't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will not find it in Hebrews through Revelation. You find it only in Romans to Philemon. Now, verse 1, Romans 8, verse 1, I want to do it again. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see that capital S? Now, what about that? What is Paul saying here? Well, let's see if we can find out. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, can the law condemn you? What if you don't keep the commandments? Can you be condemned? Can you? No, you can't. But these people can. They were told over and over and over, keep the commandments, keep the law. The rich young ruler in Matthew 19 and Luke 18, he told Jesus Christ, he said, all of these things I've kept from my youth up. And the Lord said, you lack one thing. He said, sell everything you got, take up your cross, come follow me, and you'll have treasures in heaven. Y'all know where Jesus Christ's cross led him to? To death. These people here are told they got to die. They won't have salvation until the second coming, when the fountain of, according to Zechariah 13 and other places, the fountain of blood will be opened to Israel over here. We've now received the atonement. The word atonement is perfect. Not reconciliation. Why? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me show you what reconciliation is. It ain't the same as atonement. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now I'm going to start in verse 14 and I'm going to make some comments. Now listen, if you've got a question, stop me and let's talk about it. Let's get it straight before you leave here. Don't go from here confused. I don't want you to be confused. My job ain't to confuse you. My job is to help you to get unconfused. The world religious system's got enough people confused at this. I met a young man in the parking lot the other day. I was putting my buggy up and he stopped me. He said, wait, now, I'll take that. Well, I got to talking to him about the Lord. And we stood there, and I'm talking about hot, middle of the day, hot, hot. Well, we was doing okay all along here. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said he trusted Christ as his Savior. But you know what he told me? Me and him's the same age. I don't tell you how old I am. But he said, I'm the healthiest person, he gave his age, that you'll ever meet. He said, I've been healed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet and everything inside. I've been healed by his stripes, and that's when it ended. Y'all know where he quoted that from? Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I tell you what, dude, before we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's do that. Go to Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Isaiah 53. Do y'all know who the book of Isaiah is written to? You know, it makes a difference who the writer's talking to. You know, I can go to my mailbox and every now and then the mailman puts somebody else's mail in my mailbox. It's in my box. But it ain't my mail. What if I opened it up and it said that, well, Sister So-and-so wants you to come to her house tonight for supper. Well, where Sister So-and-so live? Huh? Who is this lady? That's just like opening the Bible. If you open somebody else's mail, that's going to get confusing out there a lot, unless you know who the writer is talking to and who he's writing to. So in Isaiah 53, I want to find out who the Lord is talking to. So I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, it ain't hard to figure this out. You do this in every book that you read, and after a while, God will give you some understanding of his book. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jonathan, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Who is the Isaiah writing about and to? Judah and Israel, right? Go to chapter 53. Same people. It ain't changed. He's not writing to the church, the body of Christ. Paul is the apostle to the church, the body of Christ. Paul wrote 13 books to the church, the body of Christ, and he said, rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth, right here. For this dispensation, Romans to Philemon, has to be rightly divided. Now, in Isaiah 53, verse 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the law revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. You understand? He is despised and rejected of men, and he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And they did. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Did Isaiah, talking to Judah and Jerusalem, say that with his stripes they were healed? Did he? That's what he just said, didn't he? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, and you'll find Peter quoting this. Before we read chapter 2, we want to read chapter 1. I want to know, Peter, who are you writing to? Chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Is Peter writing to strangers? Okay? Do you think you're a stranger? You want to know how you know you ain't? Well, let's ask God. Let's ask God to show us whether we are strangers that Peter's writing to. And we'll take the one verse from it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, whole 1 Peter. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writing to the Ephesians, in the church, the body of Christ, letters written to people such as us. Verse 19. Now therefore you are no more what? Strangers. Well, am I in the book of 1 Peter? No, I am not. Why? God said I'm no more stranger. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1. Peter writing to the stranger. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the stranger. Well, God just told me I ain't no stranger. So he ain't written the book to me. He's writing the book to Israel over here in this time frame over here. Now go to chapter 2, verse 20. Go to verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Well, beloved, his steps lead to death. Who did no sin, Jesus Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Did he say, by your stripes you shall be healed?
No.
He said, by his stripes you were healed. Well, beloved, I ain't healed. I still have sicknesses. You understand? And that young man, someday he's going to have to eat those words that he says. As sure as you're alive, you're going to get sick. You can mark it down. Why do you think they got so many doctors? Because people get sick. It's part of that we inherited from Adam back here when he disobeyed God. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. We don't die because we're sinners. We're sinners because we sin. But I got good news for you. Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. Now, watch what Peter says in verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray. Ain't that what Isaiah said? It certainly was. Isaiah identified these people for us. Now, who are these people here? Go to chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him that has called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. Now, let's see if we can find out what we are. Are we a holy nation or a royal priesthood? Let's see. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, God did a work. The word wrought means work. He's done a work when He raised Christ from the dead. Now watch what He says there. Verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What fills up His body? The church. Fills it up with what? His righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you supposed to be holding that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, the word constrain means it binds us together. It holds us together. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Well, Jesus Christ died for all men. God hath have all men to be saved, comma, and come unto the knowledge of truth. We got saved people. I believe that man had a testimony of salvation, but he has not yet come unto the knowledge of the truth of what dispensation he's living in. You understand? I believe we got a lot of people that's confused like this. I believe we got a lot of people sitting in denominational churches that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and because of the slackness of their preacher, whoever he will, he's scared to tell you the truth, friend. You'll leave and won't come back. We got a lot of people sitting in ignorance, and that's bad. God don't want you to be in ignorance. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, God Almighty gave you His Spirit so you can know the things that are freely given to you from God Almighty. Listen, if you are saved, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you can know the things of God if you'll study. But you have got to study. God ain't just going to pour it in your brain like filling up a glass of water. You have got to study. Now, verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now watch the next verses. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh in his earthly ministry over here, we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. I do not know, I do not serve Jesus Christ the King. The King came for Israel. The King will come again over here, and he'll sit on the throne of his father David, as Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. He raised Christ to sit on the throne of his father David. That's a promise to Jesus Christ and his seed through Abraham. I am not a child of Abraham. I'm a child of Jesus Christ. I'm an adopted son of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God cannot kick me out. Regardless of, and I don't like to say this, but it's true, regardless of what I do, God can never deny me. You know why? He can't deny himself. I'm in him, and I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. Now, watch what he says here. Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a born again Christian. He is what?
Creature.
The only man that was ever created was Adam. And I'm not talking about the angels now. They're created beings. But I'm talking about Adam back here. Adam was created. The rest of us were born. Except me. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I am a new creature created in Christ, wrought in Christ when Christ raised Jesus Christ from the dead based on his foreknowledge, knowing that there I am right there, I would trust Christ as my personal Savior, knowing that God resurrected me in Christ before I was ever born. Y'all understand that? Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me hold 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see, there's a teaching going around in the world, among other false doctrines, that God predestined you to be saved and this one to be damned and go to hell. No such thing. When Jesus Christ died for all, how many did he die for?
All.
Then we're all dead. But in Christ, I ain't dead. I'm a new creature created in Christ. You understand? I'm not born again. Born again is over here at the second coming for these people here. John 3 is very misused today thanks to Jimmy Carter, your ex-president. He started that trend again. Born again Christian. Well, I ain't seen him dead and born again yet. Beloved, being born again means being born of the Spirit, according to John chapter 3. Man must be born of the Spirit. Bless God, if I wanted to, I could use the term born again, because I'm born of the Spirit, but I'm a new creature. Not this old thing here. I'm a new creature. Now, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, the calling according to his purpose is to be conformed to the image of his son, and I was in AD 33 when I was resurrected with Christ. Now, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Did God foreknow those that he predestinated? to be conformed to the image of his son. Ain't that what it says?
Yeah.
Anybody got a problem with that? Did God foreknow you?
Yes.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did God know you was going to be here this morning? Certainly he did. If he didn't, he ain't God. You understand? Now, those that he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he, his son, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. You understand? Jesus Christ, beloved, when Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he's talking about himself. A man must be born again, except he can't see the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ can't get back to where God the Father is without being born again. You understand? So he's born of the Spirit. But when Jesus Christ was born from the dead, the body, not just the head, the body was resurrected. You understand? So spiritually, judicially, I'm seated at the right hand of God the Father right now, and he cannot deny me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In Matthew chapter 7, if you study it real closely, you'll find some people over here that say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, cast out devils in thy name? You know what the Lord says? Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. He can't say that to me and you in here, nor anybody in here that has trusted Christ as their personal Savior, regardless of what they even preaching. Now that's a merciful God, beloved. That's a God of love that sees no condemnation. Me and you, we look at each other and we see condemnation all the time. Now don't deny it. You know you do. You look at somebody, well, they don't do like me, so they are sorry, but well, you ain't no better. You know how I know that? Because Jesus Christ had to die for you too. You know why? Because you was a low down sinner. No way to get to God without going through Jesus Christ. Not through his name. You understand? Through his name back here. Through his death over here. Now watch what he says here. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, he did not predestinate nobody that he did not foreknow. You understand? Those that he foreknew, he did predestinate. Now, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, then he also justified. Well, am I justified in Christ?
Yes.
I sure am. And if you break the word down, it means just as if I died. Then you understand clearly what Paul is saying in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you can't beat that. You know, if we as human beings, if lowly, and you know this Bible in Proverbs and other places, in Hebrews and other places, said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would God be mindful of a low-down, sore snake in the grass like me? I deserve nothing but damnation years ago. 70-some-odd years ago, they ought to just blown my head off and got me out of my misery. That's how sore I was. Now, yeah, I'm talking about 70 years ago, I was sore. You know why? I was born sore. I couldn't help myself. God Almighty knew that. So according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, he called me by Paul's gospel. And you know how Paul was called? By the grace of God. He called Paul by his grace, and he called me by his grace. He never called me by his law. He called me by his grace. You know the only thing the law can do is condemn you. Y'all know what the law brought?
Yeah.
Brought death. It brought a curse. Y'all know what the last word in Malachi is in the so-called Old Testament? Y'all know the very last word. Curse. All their lifetime back here under the law. Israel. And they couldn't keep it. They failed miserably. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John under the law. They failed miserably. So God took the law and nailed it to the cross. The law, God can't see it. It's gone. You know why? He knew Israel, his chosen people, that he dwelt among, took care of them. 40. You know, I can't imagine. I know you ladies wouldn't like this at all. Wear a pair of shoes 40 years. I bet there ain't a lady in here that wore a pair of shoes 40 years. Most ladies have got a different pair of shoes according to what kind of dress they put on. But they wore shoes for 40 years and they've never wore out. Only God can do that. Only God can save low-down sinners today, such as us, by the death of his son at Calvary. Now watch what he says here, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Are we already glorified in Christ? Praise God, hallelujah. I'm already glorified in Christ, the new creature that I am. You understand? The old man is still standing here in front of you. And that's why Paul wrote to us in the book of Philippians and said that God is going to change our vile body. And you know Satan would get in on the act. You know what Satan does with the word vile? Well, I don't know if I... Let's go to Philippians. Go to Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 3. Right before Colossians. Verse 20. Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. In other words, our citizenship. We're new creatures in Christ. So I'm up there and I'm looking down here on the world. I'm up yonder looking down on the world. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. You know what Satan does with the word vile there? Changes it to lowly. Well, we're all lowly humans, ain't we? No, we live in a vile body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's some of the things that we have in Christ. Now, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. These new creatures that we are. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Well, the question comes up, how can you get in Christ? Got any idea how to get in Christ? By the gospel. What gospel? Paul's gospel. You can't get in Christ by Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. You can't get in Christ by the 12 apostles' ministries. You only get in Christ by Paul's gospel. Hold what you got here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Maybe there's somebody I'm talking to this morning. You ain't never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you believe you've been saved because you walked the aisle, confessed your sins, and got baptized or joined the church. That will not save you. You'll die and go to hell believing that. Unless you trust Christ as your personal Savior. Believing that when Christ died at Calvary, it was for me He died. And I can see that electrician at Scott Paper Company every time I see that. He wore a white hard hat that had knobs on it, and he had wrote on the end black indelible ink, "It was for me He died." When did you ever trust Christ as your personal Savior? Believing that when He died because of you. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Look at this verse with me. For by one what?
Spirit.
That's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit. Ain't got nothing to do with water. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Well, what is that body according to what we read in Ephesians chapter 1? It's the church, which is His body, which is His fullness. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, we're bond or free, have been all made to drink in the one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Body of Christ? Are we in His body? How do you get in His body? By the Spirit. Who does the Spirit baptize into Christ's body? Those that trust Christ as their personal Savior. And if you ain't never trusted Christ as His personal Savior, you are not in the church, the body of Christ. And if you will, though, God foreknew that you would. And therefore, in A.D. 33, when Christ was resurrected, you were resurrected. And if you will not trust Christ as your personal Savior, God Almighty also knew that. So in A.D. 33, when the body was raised from the dead, you were not raised with us. And when the rapture takes place, by jolly, you will not go with us. You understand? You'll be a good person, but you will not go when the rapture takes place. Why? You don't have the Spirit of God in you to hear the rapture call. What if they have to bury you? You know, I do a lot of funerals. And that's one thing that bothered me about this young man the other day down in Walmart parking lot. He said, had a friend of his, a lady, asked him to bury her son. And he said, I didn't know whether his son was saved or not. And said, I would not do that. I said, why? He never would answer. I'll bury you. I don't care whether you're saved or not. I mean, you got to get buried. But I won't say good things about you. I won't lie to the people and say, well, that person was saved. You know what I'll do? I'll say, I don't know whether they were saved or not. That's between them and God. I can't look at you and tell whether you're saved or not. Only God Almighty knows whether you're trusting Christ as His personal Savior or not. And if you have not, the Holy Spirit didn't baptize you into the body. And you didn't come up in A.D. 33, so you won't go out in the rapture. You'll stay here, and when the Antichrist comes and reveals, you will believe that lie and be damned because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul said, now is the day of salvation. You may not get out of this building. We may have to call the paramedics to you before we get out of here. And if you didn't, if you died right now, you fell over dead right here while I'm talking, where would you be at? Don't answer me. God knows where you'd be, and you do too, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. And if you ain't never trusted Christ as your Savior, you know where you'd be? You'd be in hell, in the flames of fire. No way out. Eternity is eternity. Forever and ever and ever. So if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, when the Holy Spirit baptized you into this body, it's for eternity. You can't get out. God cannot deny you. God cannot say to you, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, verse 27 again. Now you are the body of Christ. When did you become a part of the body of Christ? When the Holy Spirit baptized you into His body. When did the Holy Spirit baptize you into His body? When you trusted Christ as your Savior. Not when you walked the aisle. Not when you confessed your sins. Not when you got water baptized. Not when you quit this or stopped that and didn't do this no more. Change your lifestyle. Change your dress. Change your clothes. How you acted on the highway. It's only then, when you trust Christ as your personal Savior, does the Holy Spirit baptize you into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not before and not after. And if He baptizes you in there, He can't undo it. Do you know why? I got two passages I want to show you before we quit here. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to take Numbers chapter 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 23. And this context starts in chapter 22, but we ain't going to go to chapter 22. The context is that it's about Balak and Balaam. Balak has tried to hire Balaam to come curse Israel. Okay? Now, chapter 23. Now, they have a big controversy about this thing in chapter 22 and chapter 23. So, when you get home, you go back and study the thing here. And now, chapter 23, verse 4. And God met Balaam and said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars. I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned to him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up this parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come curse me, Jacob, that's Israel, and defile Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Well, that's a good question. Now watch what he says there. How shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? From the tops of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Could Balaam curse Israel? No, you know why? God had already blessed them. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Take Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 8. One verse in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the world. No. You see, these angels don't give a flip about you today. God ain't dealing with angels today. He's dealing with people through men. Men, you understand? Men, not women preachers. God never called a woman to preach. There may be some women preachers in here. God does not call women to preach. You study it from Genesis all the way through Revelation and see. God calls men to preach. Has God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? So I'm in Christ, so I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings. Can God curse me? Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who justified me? God Almighty did. Why? Because I deserved it? No. Because I trusted His Son as my personal Savior. Believing that when He died at Calvary, He died for my sins. So I'm justified. Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who makes intercession for us? Jesus Christ does. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is no woman between God and man and us. There is a man, Jesus Christ, the man. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. He did not say we were sheep. He said we were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep arrayed for the slaughter. You understand? That's their purpose. Produce wool and meat. Wool and meat. They bring them in, cut the wool off. Sometimes they kill them and eat them. I used to be a butcher for Greer's years and years ago on Old Shell and Upham. Elite part of town, if you please, where the uppity-up people live. And when they got bad blood problems like I got, the doctors would take them off of veal and meat, put them on lamb because it didn't have the cholesterol building factor about lamb. I hated to cut them stinking things off. You couldn't wash that mess off. That's terrible smell. But nevertheless, he didn't say we were sheep. He said we were accounted as sheep. Now, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved, when you're baptized into his body, you're sealed, and God Almighty knows where you're at, and he knows what you need. He ain't going to send no angel to take care of you. You can forget about that. You see, my guardian angel has been asleep a whole lot of times. I lost a finger. This arm stayed in the cast for two years, two operations. Where was my guardian angel at? I reckon he was home in the bed asleep. No, the Lord knows those that are his. He knows you. He knows what you need. And he knows that we're human, and someday we're going to leave this world and go to be with the Lord, those that are saved. If you're sitting here and you don't know whether you're saved or not, praise God, you need to get yourself saved. Maybe if you're sitting here and you ain't saved, you may be the last person that completes and fills up this body, and then we can get out of here, and the hoodoos can have this world, and they can do whatever they want to. I don't care. And it ain't getting any better. It's getting in bad shape. Appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most kind and patient. We ain't through, but that's my time's up. Appreciate you being here.